Aldiva Rubalcaba, and today we're taking control of your financial future. You're watching Now Media Television. Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the FICO Diva Show. I'm Aldiva Rubalcaba, and this is a space where we talk about money with clarity, confidence, and strategy. Because financial empowerment is not only about earning more, it's about understanding how money works, how credit works, how habits form, and how to build a life where financial decisions are made from power instead of panic. Today, we're talking about financial healing, not in theory, but in real life. The debt, the spending patterns, income limitations, inflation pressure, and financial stress that so many people are currently carrying silently. My guest is Dr. Wendy Labatt, known as the Financial Healer. She's the CEO of the Financial Cures LLC, creator of Financial Cure System, best-selling author of Financial Cures book series, the host of an award-winning global streaming production, Financial Cures with Dr. Wendy Labatt. Dr. Wendy helps entrepreneurs execute and individuals diagnose financial pain, overcome unhealthy money habits, build financial confidence, and create a path toward freedom, legacy, and generational wealth. Dr. Wendy, welcome to the FICO Diva Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, especially at this time, these economic times. But as you talked about, I am an author, an entrepreneur, just TV host and, you know, business consultant and empowerer of people to be able to heal their finances. So that's my thing.
And did I say your last name correctly? Because I want to say it. I want to say Labatt, but is
it's
it Labatt? Labatt?
It's Labatt.
It is Labatt. Okay.
Labatt. Yeah, that's fine.
No, people mess up my name all the time, so I understand.
I still answer to it, no matter how you say it. I know you're talking to me.
Yeah. So, Dr. Wendy, when we use the phrase financial healer, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of focus on physical health and mental health and even social health since the pandemic, but there's very little emphasis on financial health. Mm-hmm. People confuse and conflate financial health with financial literacy. But you can be financially literate and still have poor, even fatal financial health. So I, you know, distinguish between the two. You know, financial literacy is what you know, but financial health is what you do, the results of what you do. Because like when you go to the doctor, you may know you need to eat right, exercise, drink plenty of water. But when you go to the doctor, you're obese or overweight, you know, dehydrated, and you're not doing the things that you know. So I like people to really make that distinguish clarity between financial health and financial literacy, because it's your financial health that's going to make you have some generational wealth and be debt free and, you know, live the life you desire.
Exactly. And one thing I'm finding is a lot of mindless spending is happening nowadays.
Yes, yes. I give all my clients a spending challenge before they, you know, get started, because, you know, the first thing they say is, I can't afford this, I can't afford that. But when they do that spending challenge, they realize, I tell them, you can afford whatever you want. You just have to, you know, redirect those funds you're spending on that coffee or eating out every day and do what, you know, towards your goals. And one of my clients, you know, it's so funny. He said, Dr. Wendy, I did that spending challenge and I've spent $600 eating out. And I said, okay, you're a businessman. What you do, take out your clients or what? He said, no, it's just me and my wife and sometimes the grandkids. And it wasn't that he couldn't afford it, but it was an aha moment for him where he said, $600, I could have done something with that. Instead of that, I've got just a few extra pounds to show for it. You know? So, and that's something that people just, you know, the first thing they say is, I can't afford it. I can't do that. It's like, you can do whatever there, but you have to, you know, take the steps to do it and do it the right way.
Exactly. And so on that note, how do you help someone diagnose whether their problem is debt, income, spending, mindset, knowledge or lack of just not having a system?
Well, we do a, what we call a financial health analysis, you know, like a financial checkup, just like when you go to the doctor, you know, they take your financial health vital signs is what I call it. And, you know, just like you go to the doctor, they take your blood pressure, your weight, you know, listen to your heart and all that. We do the same thing with your finances to see where the problem is, because, you know, which they may think is the problem is not really the problem, you know. So we just try to take a realistic look of what's going on in order to prescribe the right, you know, remedy for their situation.
No, I agree. I agree with you so much, because I feel like whenever we speak to people about finances, they always feel broke, but they don't realize how much more they have to use. They're just misappropriating their funds.
Yeah. And a lot of people are, you know, want to put on a front, you know, they want to act like they got it going on, you know. And I tell my clients, look, first, you got to be real with yourself and, you know, take a realistic look at what's going on. And then second, you got to be real with me, because I can't help you if you're going to try to have some kind of facade. You know, we need to know what the real deal is. And I tell them, you know, I've been there. I have, you know, been bankrupt, foreclosed, repoed, all that stuff. So I know firsthand, you know, what it feels like. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. It's just part of living. You know, eventually you go through that, you know, and if you don't go through it, you know, you may not understand how to get through it when you do go through it. So, you know, I tell them it's nothing to be ashamed about. You need to be transparent, but first you need to be transparent with yourself.
And, you know, speaking of shame, because it's true, you know, so many people feel shame around money instead of asking for help earlier. And what do you, in your experience, what do you feel that shame stems from?
I think just what the perception that other people will have of them, you know, they're kind of caught up in, you know, what somebody's going to think about them. And I tell them, look, if they're not paying your bills, doesn't matter what they think about you. If they're not making a contribution to your situation, it shouldn't matter what they think. You know, it's what you think and what you know. And then, like I said, you have to work yourself out. You don't want to get caught up on what other people think. And I think that's what it's that and is how they were raised. You know, I was talking to one young lady, I was on her show, and she was saying how, you know, when she grew up, they were afraid the lights were going to get cut off. You know, I mean, it's all kind of backstories that contribute to how people really think about money now. And a lot of it stems from the way they were raised and, you know, how they grew up and what they dealt with, you know, in those formative years.
And I agree with that statement. I feel like a lot of people or parents, they don't want to really show their children what's going on, so then they don't educate them. And, you know, so what's one of the financial symptoms that people should stop normalizing, in your opinion?
Stop normalizing the I can't attitude. You know, stop. I tell people, you can do whatever you want to do. And when you say I can't, that just shuts your mind off to any possibility. It slams the door, you know, locks it and throws away the key. But if you say, how can I, you know, you open up your thinking and the possibilities of how you can achieve whatever it is you're trying to achieve. So I tell my clients, get rid of the can't. Get that out of your vocabulary, because we don't talk about what you can't do. We talk about what you can do or how you can do it. So I think that's one thing, the mindset. You know, people just have the wrong mindset about money. So, you know, it's hard for them to basically, you know, implement principles because they think the wrong way.
I agree. And so how can our viewers begin to tell the truth about their own financial condition without feeling defeated?
Well, for one, they need to put it on paper. You know, I mean, all these apps and everything makes it easy for you to collect the data, but you need to write it down, look at it, and realize, you know, it may be a shocker when you look and say, dang, I didn't realize it was like this. But you need to take that look and you need to get that shock just to make sure that, you know, you are looking at a realistic picture, because people, they know how much they make and they know, you know, a lot of times, you know, what their expenses are, but they don't always include their debt, or their spending is the key factor. They know their expenses and their debt, but they don't look track their spending. And that's where all the money is, you know?
And with you talking about that, what are some common financial pains that people ignore until it becomes a crisis?
Well, they ignore the fact that they're paying the minimum on their credit cards and that compound interest is costing them a fortune. They ignore the fact that they can live within their means and still get the things they want without spending, without getting a second job or spending extra money. I talk about my points rewards, you know, program where you can live the VIP life but not spend the extra money. So, you know, they just have to understand that there are ways to achieve what they're trying to achieve without, you know, having to get a second job.
No, I agree. And I've heard that you talk about anorexic income and obese debt. How do those patterns show up in real life?
Well, the anorexic income is, you know, just like someone with anorexia, they eat and eat and eat, and then they throw it up. And then here they, you know, people make more money, but they spend more money. So it's like, you know, they don't have the income they need. It's like it's anorexic. And then the obese debt, you know, the compound interest, you know, having a credit card and not paying that bill when it comes, or not, or paying more than a minimum, then that, you know, that makes that debt, you know, get bigger and bigger and bigger. And next thing you know, you owe more than what you spent, you know, and it's unfortunate. It takes you, you know, maybe 5-10 times longer to pay it out if you just do that minimum payment. So that's what I refer to on those terms.
No, and you're right, because if they just pay the minimum payment, it takes them 30 years to pay off a credit card. Well, Dr. Wendy, this is such an important starting point because we cannot heal what we refuse to diagnose. When we come back, we're going to go deeper into habits, beliefs, and spending patterns that keep people stuck financially and how to begin replacing them with healthier systems. We'll be back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more strategies to elevate your credit, eliminate debt, and build lasting wealth. Stay tuned. And welcome back. I'm Al Diva Rubalcava, and this is the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. Let's continue building. And welcome back to the FICO Diva Show. Stay connected to the show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand. Anytime you like, download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, not a problem. Catch the podcast version on www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. I'm back with Dr. Wendy Labatt, the financial healer and creator of Financial Cure System. In this segment, we're talking about patterns behind numbers, because financial struggle is not always caused by one bad decision. Sometimes it's caused by repeat habits, emotional spending, fear, avoidance, lack of education, and beliefs about money that were never questioned. The goal is not judgment, the goal is awareness. Because once a person understands the pattern, they can begin to change the system. So Dr. Wendy, how do unhealthy money habits usually form?
Well, they form by, you know, not paying attention. You know, a lot of times, especially now in this more cashless age, you know, back in the day, if you didn't have the cash, you didn't buy it. You know, now all you have to do is swipe or tap. And, you know, people have a perception of a credit card being like extra money, which it's not. Especially the younger generation, they have to realize that that money has to be paid back, and it's really not for you to just spend willy-nilly. And I think people just don't pay attention. They're, you know, tapping and swiping and buying and not tracking what they're spending. So they get caught up, and next thing you know, they're in debt and they don't, you know how to get out, and they just panic.
I agree with you so much. Mindless spending is a huge thing. And I feel like the more that we can tap and pay, the worse it is for our people. And so what does a spending addiction look like? How can someone recognize it without shame?
Well, I mean, I kind of had a spending addiction at one time. I was hooked on going into a department store and checking the clearance rack. And if it was cheap, I was buying it, whether I needed it or not, you know. And next thing I know, you know, I understood, you know, when they were marked down and when you get the best percentage off. And I was going on those days and finding things that, you know, I didn't necessarily need, but I figured somebody would need it and I would have it if they did. But next thing I know, it's like, yeah, I'm spending, not only am I spending all this money, but I'm accumulating all this stuff. You know, my house looked like it wasn't quite as bad as hoarding, but it was getting there. So my assistant, I told her, I said, look, don't buy anything. If you need something, come see what I got before you spend a penny. So you can get caught up in that. You know, sometimes it's bad, you know, like, you know, buying that expensive cup of coffee every day on the way to work or eating out at lunch or dinner, you know, when you can spend that same money and buy a month's worth of groceries and cook instead of that. So people kind of get caught up on, I guess, on the convenience factor as well. So there are a number of ways that you can get caught up on that spending.
And it's true. I mean, I agree with you. I've also gone into clearance racks myself and I'm like, oh, but it's on sale. Mm-hmm. It's on sale. Mm-hmm. So I have to have it. So I understand.
Yeah.
How does mindset and knowledge deficiencies create financial pain over time?
Well, the mindset, like I said, the way you think about money, you know, if you have that I can't mindset, you know, you're just shutting it down to start with. You're not going to get anywhere. And then if you don't have discipline is another factor. You have to, and I define discipline is choosing what you want more over what you want now, because there are times that, you know, you can buy whatever it is you want, but is that going to impact, or how is that going to impact your long-term goals? You know, and people don't take that into consideration until they see their long-term goals aren't met. So that's one of the key things. And then understanding basic money principles, you know, understanding, like I said, the rule of 72 of how, you know, interest compounds. You know, you can make money with the compound interest if it's an investment, but if it's a debt, it's going to cost you, you know, a fortune if you don't, you know, have that discipline to pay that bill every month or pay more than the minimum amount. So there are a number of factors that play in that, but those are the key ones, I would say.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm going to talk about the I word, inflation. Oh, so no. What role, I know, what role does inflation play in exposing weak financial habits or weak financial systems?
Well, I would say, you know, we're living that right now. So if you go in the store and you're, you know, what your the items that you usually buy cost a certain amount back then, and now you're paying like double or even 1.5 times, you know, that impacts it if you don't know how to offset that. And most people don't know. They panic and they're like, okay, I got to cut back. And you should, I guess, cut back to a sense. But that's where, you know, my points, rewards, and miles come into play. You know, gas prices are high, but I get, you know, I just got 50 cents off a gallon the other day because I use a loyalty program. You know, wherever I go, I'm part of their loyalty program. And every place has it, fast food places, drug stores, grocery stores. And you need to take advantage of that because you'll be surprised at how much you can, you know, make your money work for you just by using those programs. So it has an impact, but, you know, you can kind of offset it in a way. But, you know, you have to be aware of that.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, a lot of us, we don't consider what inflation's doing to us. And it does disrupt our lives and our pocketbooks. And we need to be prepared for that. So you're 100% spot on. And how can someone separate a real income problem from a money management problem?
Well, most income problems are money management problems because, you know, back in the day, and I keep saying back in the day because, you know, I lived back in the day, people could live off of whatever they made. You know, they were disciplined enough to know this is what I've got to spend. You know, they would save a certain amount. They would invest a certain amount and they would, you know, pay their bills and they would spend a certain amount. But, you know, today people seem like they put spending as the priority versus saving, investing, or paying their bills. So I think it is a money management. I think that's the key. You know, usually if you make money, You can live within your means. You just have to manage it properly.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I remember working, I'm aging myself, but I remember working for $2.15 an hour, and that was minimum wage. And people were owning homes back then. You know, so yeah, you're 100% correct. What practical steps help people interrupt emotional spending before it becomes debt?
Well, I think again, you know, write it down, you know, track your spending, you know, actually look at what you're spending, you know, take a look. And when you start adding up those receipts and what you spend and what you spend it on, you're like, oh no, I can't believe I spent, you know, $100 this week buying coffee or, you know, anything. Like I said, $100 a week, that's $5,200 a year that could be, you know, paying off a debt or something. So people have to really recognize, you know, or look at the reality of their spending, because that spending is the key. You know, I don't care how much money you make. I got 6 and 7 figure client earning clients that still struggle because they spend like, you know, they got it going on. I said, just because you make all this money don't mean you have to spend it. So I think spending is the key factor, and money management is, you know, the next priority.
And documentation, like you said, like actually seeing on paper, where's my money going? Because that helps you make better decisions, right?
Yeah, and not just looking at a bank statement, because a lot of times when people look at their bank statements, they're just looking at the balance. Do I have enough money in the bank? They're not itemizing the transactions, and you have to itemize the transactions and not just how much you spent, but what you spent it on. And a lot of people, you know, they figure, okay, I got it so I can spend it. So, or else they say I don't have it and I'm going to spend it anyway.
I agree. So what does financial discipline look like when someone is already overwhelmed?
Well, it looks like sitting down, like I said, taking a realistic look at what your, you know, income is, your debt is, your expenses are, you know, and your spending. And then from those categories, how can you reduce your expenses? Because just as you've got expenses, you know, you still can reduce, you know, if your light bills a certain amount every month, just because you pay that every month, you can reduce it, turn off the lights, cut down the air conditioner, or turn it off, or whatever would, you know, lower your energy bill. There are a number of ways that, you know, you can reduce expenses, you know, especially now with all this technology and all these, you know, premium channels and all that. Cut some of that stuff out. You know, there's a lot of freebies out there you just have to look at. And then once you do that, you know, with your debt, you know, start paying off the debt. You know, once you start paying it off, you know, eat that elephant one bite at a time, and eventually, you know, you'll be debt free. And you're going to have expenses, but they don't always have to be, you know, maximum expenses. And then, you know, make your money work for you. You know, when you pay your bills, I recommend to my clients to use a debit card or credit card that gives them cash back. Mm-hmm. And if you use a credit card, you have to make sure that you pay that debt off, you know, when it comes. Because if you were paying your bills out of your checking account, you would have to have the money for that. Why not get rewarded and get some cash back from paying your monthly bills? Because you know you got to pay them, so you might as well get a little money back on it. So people need to, you know, look at creative ways to increase their income without having to get a second job. So there are a number of ways to do some things, but that spending is key. Cut out the spending. You know, not only will your finances be happy and you'll be happy with your finances, but just realize it's a relief that you don't have to, you know, deal with, you know, you'll have more money to work with.
I agree. And how does the financial cure system help people move from awareness into action?
Well, like I said, we have 6 steps that we look at. You know, first is your mindset transformation. Then we teach you how to take control over your finances by planning where your money goes instead of wondering where it went. You know, I don't use the word budgeting. I use planning where your money goes. And then proper protection to prevent financial ruin. You know, in my story, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, my medical bills were over $100,000. And over $1.5 million.
Wow.
And, you know, thank God, you know, I had to health insurance, the coverage that paid for all that. And then I had supplemental coverages that brought me multiple six-figure tax-free shots in the arm. So I didn't have to worry about money. I could focus on my recovery. But, you know, people don't, you know, a lot of times they don't want to pay for car insurance or, you know, health insurance. And if something happens, if you can't afford to pay the premium for those, how are you going to pay the bill when it, you know, with no coverage? So people have to have that proper protection. And then the tax strategies, you know, that's part of the system because, you know, a lot of people would just take their documents to the tax preparer, let them put in the data entry, and then whatever they say that comes out, that's what they, you know, either get or owe without any real strategy behind it. And I encourage my clients to have a strategy moving forward that will get them in a better position the following year than they are in this year. And then, you know, understanding the impact the global economy has on your income and your expenses. And we're dealing with that now with gas prices, you know, prices on food because of what's happening in the Middle East. So, and then the final thing is taking action. You have to have an action plan that you actually implement because, you know, faith without works is dead. You know everything, but if you don't do anything, then nothing's going to happen.
I agree with you 100%. And this segment just reminds us that money transformation is not only about math, it's also about behavior, emotion, education, and accountability. When we come back, We will talk about business owners, entrepreneurs, and the financial systems needed to create freedom instead of constant pressure. We'll be back. We'll be right back with more strategies to elevate your credit, eliminate debt, and build lasting wealth. Stay tuned. I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, and this is the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. Let's continue building. And welcome back to the FICO Diva Show. I'm continuing this conversation with Dr. Wendy Labatt, the financial healer, financial mastery, and the systems that help people take control of their money. Now, I want to focus on entrepreneurs, corporate executives, and the business leaders. These are people who may be generating income, but still feel financial pressure because the right systems are not in place. Income does not create freedom, strategy, structure. I'm sorry. Income does not create freedom. Strategy, structure, and consistency do. Ooh, I overstepped myself. Dr. Wendy, what financial mistakes do a lot of our entrepreneurs and executives often make when they are earning well?
Well, the mistake is they, you know, conflate sales or income with profit. And I had, you know, when I started out, I was a rookie entrepreneur and, you know, you don't always look at everything. And I have clients now that say, oh, I'm making $1 million or my company made $1 million, but they spent $1,001,000, you know? So just because you're a $1 million entity doesn't mean that your profit is there, your profit margin is there. So I think that's a mistake a lot of, you know, high earners and entrepreneurs mistake. They look at the sales figures without looking at the gross or net profit. They don't look at the cost of that amount. And, you know, until you do, you don't really know what you're making. You know, if you're not looking at the actual cost of goods sold or cost of the services, and even those costs, you know, they may look at, if they're selling a product, they may just look at the cost of the actual item, but they don't take in the overhead it takes to deliver that item. So I think that's a mistake a lot of business owners make. And, you know, to get the realistic, again, a realistic look at what their finances are.
And I agree, they're so focused on the income, they forget that we don't live off the gross, we live off the net.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
How can business owners know whether their finances are supporting growth or quietly creating stress?
Well, look at the numbers. Again, you have to take a realistic look. If you're not, you know, looking at the numbers realistically, if you're just looking at sales and not looking at the cost of the sales and the overhead attached to that, then, you know, you're just kind of fooling yourself. So I think that's a, you know, a main thing is to see what your actual net profit is, because a lot of companies are working in the negative, you know, they're working in a deficit instead of, you know, seeing what they really need to make, and, you know, in order to be profitable, and then to set how much money you need to make and then backtrack. You know, if I need to make $100,000 for my salary, then what is it going to take for me to do that? You know, so I think they need to take, again, a realistic look at their finances.
I agree with you. And what system should every entrepreneur have in place to protect cash flow and help their decision making?
Well, they need to have some kind of accounting system in place, even if it's just writing down what your revenue is, what your, you know, expenses are, what your debt is, you know, and then what your spending is. And, you know, what does it cost? You know, how much do you have to pay for rent? How much are your, is your payroll, you know, all the things that it costs, how much are your utilities? You need to look at all those numbers and, you know, determine what it is that, you know, you need to make, how much you need to make. And if you're not making those numbers to support that, then you're steady going. And then your cash flow, if you're, and this was one of my problems when I first started out, you know, I was a rookie. I didn't understand about cash flow, you know, and I was making the sales, but the people weren't paying me on time. So I had no money in the bank. You know, when it's time for me to pay the bills, I'm struggling. But here I'm financing these big corporations that are doing business with me because they're not paying on time. So you got to make sure that you have a positive cash flow and that people are paying, you know, your invoices. You have to make sure that, you know, you're collecting your money in a timely fashion so you can meet your obligations.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. And I also feel that a lot of our entrepreneurs, there's a lot of financial confusion. And so how do you feel, or how does our financial confusion affect leadership, confidence, and business strategy?
Well, I think it affects it because, you know, a lot of times people, especially as an entrepreneur or business owner, you know, when you're out there networking and everything, you don't want to put all your business out there and let folks know you're struggling, you know, or you don't want your employees to know that it's going to be tough to meet payroll. But, you know, you have to face up to those realities and do something about it. You know, so you don't want to tell all your business, but you have to be realistic about what's happening with that. Excuse me. I remember when I first started out, like I said, I was a rookie and I had my one little employee. She was such a sweetheart. There were times when payday came, she would say, "Well, you don't have to pay me today if you want to hold off." But I paid her. If I didn't pay anybody else, I was paying her because she was so loyal and, you know, committed. She, you know, but you have to, you know, be real about that and, you know, don't be ashamed, but like, so you don't have to tell everybody, but you do need to seek counsel. You know, if you don't have a mentor that can guide you, fortunately, I had a mentor that came in and looked at my books and said, "Look, you got the sales on the books. You need to go collect your money from these people." And I'm like, "Well, I can't, you know, if I go tell them they need to pay me, they may take this business from me." He said, "Look, there are two kinds of entrepreneurs. There are people that are about business and those that play business." And he said, "Right now you're playing business. So you better go meet with these folks, tell them to pay their bills on time." And then to my surprise, he was right. When I confronted them about it, they, you know, they, I guess they respected me more as a business person. And not only did they start paying their bills on time, sometimes they would pay it before time, you know, because I'm like, I'm a small business. I can't afford to finance, you know, you to do business with me. So it worked out.
What? You're not Bank of Dr. Wendy?
No, no, not to them, you know, back then, maybe to my family, but not to them. And even my family is like, "Look, y'all get it when I get it," you know.
I know. So speaking of that, what do you want entrepreneurs to understand about inflation, pricing, and profitability?
Well, I think they need to, like I said, look at what their numbers are and allow for the inflation and to let your customers know, you know, it's going to be a price increase. You know, they're aware of that, you know, they're not going to drop you because you got to raise your prices because they're already seeing the prices being raised on other things. And if you go to them or give them notice, don't just up the price, you know, without notice. And I guess it depends on the relationship too. But, you know, increase your price, you know, don't be, if you can't absorb that inflation, which I don't recommend you do, Because like I said, then you kind of plan business. You go ahead and the spirit will lead you on who to work with or not increase prices on, or what to not increase prices on. But do what you have to do. It's about business. The big companies, some of them tried to absorb this, inflation and the tariffs and all that. But then they, came around and said, look, we can't afford to absorb that. So, you have to look at what's best for your company to maintain that profit that you said you need to make to do what you need to do.
I agree with you. And speaking of that, how can someone build stronger financial habits while pursuing ambitious business goals?
Well, I think for one, having a strategy and implementing that strategy, look at what your goals are, have a strategy of how you think you can achieve those goals, and then, take action. Do what you say you need to do to get that done and monitor it. And if it doesn't, if you do it, say after 30 or 60 days, it's not working the way you thought, make some adjustments, monitor it, and you got to track it. Don't think you put it out there and it's going to magically work forever. You monitor it after, maybe 60 days to see if that strategy is working. And if it's not, tweak it to where it will start working and keep monitoring it. So, I think that's my recommendation.
That's wonderful. Well, Dr. Wendy, I love this because financial control is not about restriction. It's about giving people options, peace, and power. When we return, we're going to close with legacy, how financial healing can become generational wealth and a different story for families. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more strategies to elevate your credit, eliminate debt, and build lasting wealth. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, and this is the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. Let's continue building. Welcome back to the FICO Diva Show. I am here with Dr. Wendy Labatt, the financial healer. And in this final segment, we're going to talk about bigger vision, financial freedom, legacy, and generational wealth. Because the goal is not only to get out of debt or survive inflation. The goal is to create life when money supports purpose, family, opportunity, and impact. When people heal their financial systems, they don't just change their bank account, they change the future that they're able to build. So, Dr. Wendy, what does financial freedom mean to you?
Financial freedom means to me that I can do what I want, when I want, how I want, where I want, and money's not going to be an issue.
I agree. How do people move from fixing financial pain to building financial legacy?
Well, first, they, like I said, transform that thinking. You got to think right, speak right, and do right for things to flow right. And when I say things, I don't mean just money. I mean like your discernment, your discipline, your opportunities, and just how you implement your action plan. So, they can go from being, in debt and struggling to creating generational wealth and being debt free. And that's, what I recommend for my clients. I had only one lady I had, and she said, I'm spending all my money before I die. I'm not leaving my kids a penny. And I'm like, Lord. I never heard anybody say that, but it's like, hey, the choice is yours. It's your money. You do what you want. But, we need to leave generational wealth and create a financial legacy because, like I said, back in the day, and I keep saying that, but we, we learned things the hard, not the hard way, but we were hungry. I was talking to a guy at church Sunday, so we were hungry. I said, but our kids, we fed them. So they weren't, trying to struggle or hustle to get things they wanted. They were picky. It's like, I don't want that. I want this, So it's, again, that thinking, that mindset, you go from, understanding you have to earn your keep, to thinking that, you're privileged and that, the parents owe these kids something. And you don't really want to, not deprive your kids, but you have to teach them, lessons. And when, kids have to use their own money, they're, they're frugal with it. But when your money is being used, the sky's the limit, So, even the Bible says a good man leaves, wealth, or I can't read the term, for their kids, their children's children. So that's, the principle I live by. I'm leaving, generational wealth, because I want my kids, to have, but I don't want to just give it to them. They have to do some things in order to be able to, have access to it, because it's all going to be in a trust, and I'm going to dictate beyond the grave how they're going to get that money.
Here's your money, but.
Yeah.
And Dr. Wendy, before I ask you more questions, how can our viewers get in contact with you? What's the best way to reach you?
Well, you can reach me by going to my website, thefinancialcureswithans.com. It has all my contact information, about my books and, everything about me and my programs. But, that's the best way. thefinancialcureswithans.com.
That's awesome. So what financial lessons should families be teaching earlier, more and more openly?
Well, one thing that I recommend, and one thing I did when my kids were in middle school, I was a PTA president. So I developed a program called Teach Your Children. No, reward your children with an allowance. That was what the program was called. And what it was set up, I was partnered with the bank at the time, and they had, they would come to the school once a week where the kids can open an account and, deposit money. Well, they would have to go to the bank to open the account, but they could, they would come, once a week and make deposits into their accounts. But the parents, they were instructed, and it was, the choice was theirs, to give their kids an allowance, to reward them with good grades. They would get $5 a week. If they did chores around the house, they would get $5 a week. But if they didn't do it, they wouldn't get paid. So it's kind of teaching them how to earn money. And then it was attached to, doing chores and getting good grades. And then they would come in, once a week and make their deposits into their accounts. And you'd be surprised. I had some, one little kid, he was working with his grandfather. He said he wanted to have a car, by the time he graduated from high school. So he was coming in putting like $50 a week in. I'm like, okay, your grandfather's paying pretty good. I need to be on his payroll. But then I had another young lady, she would come in and count out her little pennies, 10 pennies or 15 pennies every week. But she was consistent about it. So, at the end of the school's year, I ended up matching her deposits, because I'm like, she has been so disciplined, and she was, proud of her little 15, 20 cent deposits every week. And, just that's what you have to teach them, the benefits of planning ahead, the benefits of earning your keep, the benefits of understanding, kind of how money works. You put this money away, and then when you need it or want to achieve your goal, it's there for you. So I think that's something that we've gotten away from.
I agree. And I love that you did that. I mean, I can imagine her telling stories about you blessing her like that when she was a little girl.
But I really wanted to, do more. But I said, I don't want to just do it for her and not do it for the other. But, and it was, just her discipline, just how proud she was to count out her little change and make her little deposit. It's like, okay, I'm going to help you out here.
No, that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I love that. And so how can someone create a new financial story, even if they didn't grow up with wealth?
Well, they probably can create a better story because they didn't grow up with wealth, just to be able to, like I said, have a plan and implement the plan and stick to it. The discipline of being able to say, okay, I'm going to save, 10% of my money every month, and do that first and do it consistently. And you'll be surprised at the return on your investment, when you do that versus, just spending all your money and then saving what's left. That's a problem I think that most people have.
Mm-hmm. Well, for someone watching who feels discouraged by debt, which you should never feel discouraged, because we've got Dr. Wendy here to help you, low income or past mistakes, what would you say directly to them?
If they had, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the end. You said low income or has past mistakes?
Yeah, so if they have any, if they feel discouraged by their debt, maybe they have low income, made past mistakes, what would you say directly to them?
Well, I would say, hey, we all started out with low income and we all make mistakes. So don't be ashamed and don't let that be a hindrance. You know, you can start fresh. You know, every day is a new day and just start fresh, you know, and look at, like I said, look at where you are and look at where you want to be and let's work to get you there.
Because we've all made mistakes, right? We were all 18.
And even before 18, we still making mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Every day, every day. If viewers could take one step this week toward financial healing, what should it be?
Well, you say one step. I guess it would be get that word can't out of your vocabulary. Because if you still are constantly saying, I can't do this, I can't afford this, I can't do that, then you know you're defeating right there. You know, there's no reason to try to go any further. But change your thinking, change your speaking. Like I said, when you think right, speak right, and do right, things will flow right to optimize your financial health. So change that thinking. Change what you say and change how you do things, and you know, things will work out.
I agree. And Dr. Wendy, again, for viewers who want to learn more about the Healing Financial Cures LLC, the Financial Cures System, your books, or your show, where should they go?
Go to my website, thefinancialcures with an S.com. Everything's there. Matter of fact, it has the free 7-day spending challenge that will help you get on track and look at that spending. And then, like I said, you'll be surprised once you do that. And you know, the longer you do the spending challenge, the more money you'll find that you are can redirect to the places they need to go.
I agree. So if you guys need any help, you want to reach out to Dr. Wendy, please go to thefinancialcuresplural.com. Reach out to her. Dr. Wendy, thank you so much for bringing such clarity, compassion, and strategy to this conversation. Today, we talked about diagnosing financial pain, changing money habits, building stronger systems, overcoming debt and inflation pressure, and creating a path toward freedom and legacy. What I want our viewers to remember is this: your financial condition is not your final identity. With awareness, education, discipline, and the right strategy, financial pain can become your financial power. I'm Aldiva Rubalcava. This is the FICO Diva Show. Keep building your credit, your confidence, and strategy, and your future. And thank you for joining us today. And remember to reach out to Dr. Wendy at thefinancialcures.com. Have an amazing day.